the ride. Please don't enjoy the ride. Yeah.
And now more Operation Freedom. Freedom. With your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600. Call Dave now at 822-1600. That's 734-822-1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham! Talk 1600, simulcast with Wham!'s new FM station, 92.7 on the dial. We welcome everyone to our broadcast, not just on our terrestrial network, but also through the internet. This past week, we had folks in every state of the United in the Union listening to our broadcast, which are 50 states. But if you're in your Obama's world, I believe he said it was 56 states in the United States. And also 92 countries, folks from 92 countries last week listened to this show, either live through via the internet or through downloads from podcasts. And we welcome every one of our freedom-based listeners around our country and around the world. One of the issues that we focus on and have focused on since the inception of this show in October 2010 is your healthcare freedom. And I can safely say I believe we've provided you information to enhance your healthcare freedom like no other platform in the country or, frankly, around the world. And one of the reasons is because of the guests that we bring forward to provide you information that the bought-off lamestream fake media will never tell you. Remember, this bought-off lamestream fake media is the same media that has told you that the Mueller report was going to lead to the impeachment of President Trump. This is the same bought-off lamestream fake media platform, if you will, that not only said that, but they told you that Benghazi was all about a YouTube. And needless to say, with our groundbreaking interviews with the whistleblowers that we presented this past week on our YouTube for our platform and now with our YouTube channel, thanks to the generosity of the subscribers to our platform, DaveJanda.com, that allowed me to release the interview to the general public, that we now realize that YouTube scenario that led to Benghazi and the massacre in Benghazi was a lie. This is the same syndicate that is also lying to you about the benefits of Medicare for all and about more government involvement in your healthcare delivery system. I can't think of a better person to have with us to really shine a light on the truth of what really is occurring and what needs to happen is Dr. Jane Hughes. She is a board-certified ophthalmologist and ophthalmologic surgeon and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons. Jane graduated from the University of Iowa with a BA degree and received her medical degree from the great University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio. In addition to her private practice, Jane is a clinical professor in the Department of Ophthalmology at the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio. Jane wears many hats. She is also the founder of a great organization, American Doctors, #4, truth.org. American Doctors, #4, truth.org. Jane, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Well, good afternoon, Dave. It's just a pleasure to be with you.
So, Jane, let's first shed some light on Medicare for All. It is a great slogan, I guess, some people believe. And some people believe it's the solution to the health care issues that are evident, have been evident for decades, that you and I have addressed in the past of the problems in the system. But many people, especially folks here in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, have decided that more government involvement and Medicare for all is the way to go. Your take?
Well, my take first is that you and I both know that Medicare and government intervention in terms of our healthcare system is the cause rather than the solution for what we see going on right now, which is spiraling costs. We see what Obamacare has done to the markets, which has further spiraled the cost of people's insurance premiums. And we know why that is, because there's direct payments. Those subsidies go straight to the insurance companies. So they have no motivation to keep the premiums low. So I would say we kind of have it mixed around. Medicare for all is overlooking the fact that Medicare is really the beginning of the problems we've had.
Well, and in fact, Jane, I recently had the discussion with some folks in Ann Arbor who are big proponents of Obamacare and big proponents that Obamacare is in fact working, yet are also big proponents of Medicare for All. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. If Obamacare is working so well, why do we need Medicare for All?
Well, bingo.
Well, they didn't think they didn't, say, they didn't say bingo. They actually walked away. But and tell me if I'm wrong in this, but my problem with Medicare for All, as a great a slogan as that is, it's been labeled an expensive wrecking ball. And wrecking ball because the heart, the soul, the core of Medicare for All is the rationing and denying of care, correct?
That's the ultimate result that has to occur. The Medicare program, the way it currently is structured, is destined to be completely bankrupt. And you can pick your year, 2030. Some people have said 2027, as early as 2027. And let's not forget that people have contributed involuntarily their entire life to the Medicare program. Mm-hmm. And various estimates in terms of putting everyone on government insurance, which of course is socialized medicine, is absolutely economically undoable. I believe the estimate was something like $32 trillion over the first 10 years. So I can't understand how rational people who have an understanding of economics could ever promote the idea of Medicare for All with that price tag on it and not understand that if you have everyone on Medicare, the government decides who gets what care when and what happens when the money runs out.
Well, let's talk about when the money runs out, because this is actually occurring around the world in countries that have a socialized type of program. Now, when we were going through the Obamacare goat rodeo of passage, we had Dr. Barack Obama, his buddy Dr. Donald Berwick, his buddy Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, this dude Gruber, you know, American people do this because they're too stupid. Okay, well... Well, they were all pushing the fact, and Hillary actually said this too, Kathleen Sebelius said this too, Joe Biden said this too, they were pushing the fact that, well, all we have to do is look across the pond and look at the UK and their system, their government-run health system, their National Health Service, and it's the epitome of providing high-quality care that's affordable, available, and allows quality enhancements. Jane. These are the same people, as I said earlier, are the people that were telling us Benghazi was about a YouTube, right? The same people that were telling us that Donald Trump would be impeached because of the Mueller report. Well, then you have to rationalize this for me, Jane. This past week, a report came out, Socialized Healthcare Reality Exposed. This is in the UK. 30,000 people dead just in the UK due to record-long hospital waiting times. National Health Service leaders, those in charge of the United Kingdom socialized healthcare, have said the hospital wait times have reached record lengths. Waiting times in emergency departments in England last month were at their worst levels since records began. An analysis that covered just half of England's hospitals found that almost 30,000 patients died in the past year while waiting for treatment. Jane, that system is supposed to be, according to Doc Obama and Berwick and Emanuel, you know, Rahm Emanuel's brother, you know, the guy who came up with
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel came up with a complete lives thing that if you're between ages 15 and 40, only you should get really have the highest priority for healthcare delivery because you're the most valuable to society. Jane, what's going on here?
This has been going on for some time. They also have like an 18-month delay in availability of new drugs as they're available in the United States, and they decide their socialized medicine system decides if they can afford a drug or not. And if their healthcare system cannot afford a drug, it doesn't appear on their formulary, and their people do not have access to those drugs. I remember last year, you and I had a similar conversation, and there were 100 individuals they identified in UK government hospitals that actually died of starvation because they could not feed themselves, and no one in the hospital took care of them. This is what happens when you have doctors on a janitor's salary. You have the government deciding who is a useful contributor to society and who isn't. People don't get total hips over a certain age. People don't get intensive care unit services over a certain age. Is this what we want in America? People are going to have to decide. You can't have it both ways.
This also, this past year, the National Health Service in England said that it would discontinue coverage for 17 procedures, including, Jane, tonsillectomies and knee arthroscopies. And if that isn't bad enough, once a person does actually get treatment, according to this article, it's incredibly poor by even a socialist standards. Patients in British hospitals are four times more likely to die than in U.S. hospitals, according to analysis outcomes from 2,000 similar surgeries conducted by researchers from the University College London and Columbia University in New York.
Well, these are appalling statistics. They're readily available. I think what people miss is that their health care is being used as a political weapon, if you will. People don't like to pay for health care. Let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
They'd much rather, you know, spend it on a big screen TV, and frankly, they'd much rather spend it on their dog or their cat. If you take a look at, you know, veterinary bills, but there has to be a sort of a come to Jesus realization that we're in America very fortunate to have access to the type of care we have. Is it too expensive? Yes, I think it's more expensive than it needs to be, and there are some straightforward solutions, none of which I hear too many politicians talking about. And we can solve this problem, but the solution is not Medicare for all, because Medicare for all is Medicare for none as we know it now, and Medicaid for all. And try finding a physician if you're on Medicaid, because Medicaid pays lower than mm-hmm. the cost of delivery of care.
Folks, we're speaking with Dr. Jane Hughes, not only a nationally known ophthalmologist, but also a phenomenal healthcare policy analyst. Jane, one of the other hallmarks of Obamacare and many of these national healthcare approaches is the fact that, you know, electronic medical records are not only mm-hmm. safe, but they drive the costs of healthcare down. Well, Jane, I have been chastised. As you know, I retired January 1st, 2017 from the active practice of medicine, and one of the reasons was that I did not want to participate in the electronic medical record goat rodeo. I felt that mm-hmm. I did not want to. I thought it was an exposure to my patients, that the fact that their records would be shared with not only government bureaucrats and another sundry of people that I believe were not in their best interest. I was told I was paranoid. I was a bad guy. I said I don't think they're safe, in the sense that I think they can be hacked into and this could be a problem, even though we never had a problem with paper records. Jane, how now? I say this facetiously because I know the answer. How is it going with your use of electronic medical records?
Well, fortunately, I do not use electronic medical records. I made the decision to not participate because of the very reasons you said. They are not secure, number one. Number two, under Obamacare and under the MACRA and MIPS program, which are part of the Medicare program, the government demands access 24/7 to all of your patients' electronic medical records, which I think is the death of the sanctity of the doctor-patient relationship. And number three, as we've talked about before on your show, Cornell Weill Medical College did a study, and the average cost per year per physician of maintaining an electronic medical record is $40,000 per year per physician. So if you do the math, you can realize that taking the fines for not using electronic medical records is way less of a cost to the practice than actually trying to comply with the ridiculousness. So I can't speak to it, but I can tell you that I can speak to it from my fellow physicians, many of whom have done what you have done, and that is retired early.
Mm-hmm.
And there are practices, I know of one ENT practice, ear, nose, and throat, where they had spent over $120,000 to do their electronic medical records only about 2 months ago to ditch the whole thing and go back to paper records, which are secure. We put ours in a fireproof locked file every night, and they're readily accessible to the patient. We can fax them any place in the world in about 10 seconds if they need it. And I allow my patients, I say, your records belong to you and me and no one else. If you want to come in and scan them, if you want to take iPhone picture of your scans or any data that we have at it. You have instant access, and you're the one that decides who you're going to share it with, not the federal government.
Jane, when I retired, the practice I had joined had already been in existence for almost 2 decades. In that entire time, the 2 decades before I got there, and then the 27 years I was associated with that practice, we never had a violation of a patient record and using paper records. Yet this just hit recently here in Michigan as we speak about electronic medical records. Headline, it was buried actually, by the way, up to 600,000 people exposed in cyber attack on Michigan healthcare companies. The personal information and medical data of more than 600,000 people in Michigan may have been compromised in a cyber attack, the state's attorney general said. Hackers may have accessed the names, addresses, social security numbers, medical information of customers of several Michigan healthcare companies, including Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, Health Alliance Plan, and McLaren Healthcare, the attorney general Dana Nessel said. Jane. When you and I spoke about this hacking business and this confidentiality issue, you know, we were told we were paranoid, that we were archaic by continuing to push for medical records in the paper form. But this is exactly what we were speaking about.
This was exactly what we were speaking about. There were 14,000 HIV patients whose records were purposefully hacked in Singapore. And Singapore has a very sophisticated healthcare system. FEMA just recently had to release that accidentally right. All of the disaster victims that they had helped recently, their records, including privileged, and I put that in quotes, medical assistance, had been inadvertently available to the public. And we can go on and on about all the instances of hacking, but the Singapore hacking was a malicious act against individuals with HIV and was deplorable. And so they aren't secure. I really don't have a problem if someone in a small practice wants to use an electronic medical record base that doesn't have any interface with insurance, for example. It doesn't have any interface with the federal government types of insurance. But that's not what's mandated in Obamacare and in Medicare.
Right. And Jane, let's talk about, and we had mentioned costs before, let's speak about price transparency, because this is extremely, extremely important and one of the huge problems of why healthcare costs have gotten out of control. Address price transparency and where we are today in 2019 on this issue.
Okay. There are a lot of people who don't understand. There are two aspects of price transparency that are crucial. One has to do with our pharmaceutical industry, and approximately 30% of the cost of any drug that gets to any of us is gobbled up by middlemen called pharmacy benefit managers, who are part and parcel of the insurance system we have. The second part of price transparency is that patients have no idea prior to rendering of treatment what the hospital charge is going to be, what the physician's charge is going to be, and there is a reason for that. We have allowed the insurance companies in this country to manipulate our system in such a way that it continues to escalate the cost, and there are hordes of middlemen every step of the way who are sucking healthcare dollars right off the top of the system. Let's take the example of a hospital admission. Hospitals have what are called charge master prices. Those are the pie in the sky, exorbitantly high prices that were made that way so that the hospitals could sustain the discounts that they have to give to insurance companies to have access to that insurance company's corral of patients. Let that sink in. In order for Iowa Methodist, let's take a state that we're not in, to have access to Blue Cross Blue Shield's patients, They have to agree to give a certain discount to Blue Cross Blue Shield off their usual and customary price. So those usual and customary prices are the charge master prices, and almost no one pays them except for the poor individual who doesn't have insurance.
So what do we do? What should we do, Jane? There's been some movement in the government on price transparency. Your take on this?
Yes. Okay, my take on this is, of course, I was very disappointed because there was buried in a 700-page regulation release by CMS. Buried in it.
CMS is Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Go ahead, Jane.
Sorry. Right, exactly. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have used the abbreviation, but yes. At any rate, buried in a 700-page regulation to enhance patients' access to their electronic medical records, which to me is a non-issue. They already have access, but was in there a mandate for price transparency. But really, Dave, you and I both know that price transparency, where we just list that, okay, here's the charge master price, here's what we let Blue Cross Blue Shield have, isn't going to solve the problem. The problem needs to be the price needs to reflect the cost of the service rendered with a reasonable profit, all comers, whether you have insurance or you don't, whether you're an insurance company or whether you're the individual. If you have, let's take a tonsillectomy, let's take a number that, let's just say there's a $400 charge, no matter if you've got insurance, you don't have insurance, you're an individual or you're an insurance company. So and then insurance can decide what they'll pay.
This is key, Jane. So who is blocking price transparency? Is it doctors that are blocking the price transparency, or is it the people that are getting a huge cut of the action that are blocking it?
It is.
Or both.
Essentially, the hospital corporations are blocking it. The insurance companies are vigorously blocking it. And we now have the pharmacy benefit manager people who, of course, are against any sort of exposure to what the actual cut that they take is in order to get a drug on a formulary, for example, with an insurance company. If we had transparency across that board, we could drop prices drastically.
Jane, how can folks follow you? Because they need to follow you on a regular basis.
Well, they can go to the American Doctors, the number 4truth.org. They can follow me on Twitter at Jane Hughes MD, or my website is janehughesimd.com.
Jane, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. You're a freedom fighter of the highest order when it comes to every American's healthcare freedom, and I thank you for that. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. Dr. Dave Janda broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at WAM Talk 1600.